The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Okay, listen up, all you Christian women. Listen up. Get a yellow pad. I've got a yellow pad right in front of me. And get a pen and get ready to take some notes. Maybe for you it's too late, but maybe it's for your daughter. Maybe it's for your granddaughter. I'm just starting off in a really snarky way, although it's going to be a really serious conversation, but a fun conversation and a meaningful conversation. Rachel Lee Brady is 34 years of age, and she and her husband Winston have been married for how long now, Rachel?
Almost 10 years.
Do you go by Rachel Lee or just Rachel?
I really love my maiden names. I use it in the middle a lot.
But... yeah, you do. Some people always are like, well, if you just want to call me Rachel or whatever, I'm like, no, what do you actually prefer? So you like to hear Rachel Lee.
I do.
You do?
I do. I'm proud to have Lee blood.
Well, there you go. So it's Rachel Lee for the rest of the show. So we've known each other. You guys have been married for how long?
Almost 10 years.
So, oh, wow, 10 years. Okay,
almost.
So, and then Rachel and her husband Winston have 3 sons, 5, 2.5, and 4 months.
Yes.
Same age as my grandson, which means you're way younger than me, but that's fine. Rachel went to Liberty University and worked at Heritage. We're going to talk about all this stuff. You and I met each other when? Because you've been very involved in politics from a Christian perspective. Rachel, more than anything, for the sake of the show, is my Christian sister. But you've been involved in politics for a long time, and that's kind of how we met.
It was.
Which goes back to what?
2012, I believe it was, during the Marriage Amendment campaign. That was my first interaction with you.
Yeah.
You're one of the great allies of the campaign, and you took our message on the air.
Just a loud one.
Planted some yard signs.
Yeah, we gave a few of those out.
And then, yes, you would replant them when they would get destroyed.
Yeah, and then I remember it was funny. It was like the day or two before the vote. So for those of you in North Carolina, I will remember when this ended up on the ballot. And so we were voting on whether we wanted to amend the North Carolina State Constitution to codify marriages between one man and one woman. Which was sad that we had to go to that, but that's where the culture was and still is. But I did a show with Bishop Wooden, mm-hmm. was in the studio, and then Tammy Fitzgerald, who's the founder of NC Values Coalition. Tammy's been on the show many times. And I remember asking them on the air, this was kind of a funny moment, this won't shock you at all. I was like, so do you guys, Tammy and Bishop, you're both married, do you have a gay marriage? And Bishop followed me. He knew what I was doing. I was taking back the language. And he was like, well, yes, Steve, as a matter of fact, I have a very gay marriage. I'm like, okay, great. Tammy, how about you? And she was like, well, we're really happily married. She just wouldn't go to the gay marriage thing. It was really funny. And then I just pulled up the definition of gay, which is jovial and happy and joyous. And I'm like, so is your marriage that? Well, yeah, I just wouldn't call it a gay. It was just a funny moment. Anyway,
funny.
Rachel was paying attention last week when we did the show. Did you hear that? Because that was kind of a two-parter, Theology Thursday.
Yes.
We did Not God's Design. We talked about men's. Specifically, men not being in the workplace. Those numbers have been dwindling for years, and you can find way too many men, like 73% of them now between the ages of 24 and 34 are not even married. So there's that issue. Last week we talked Not God's Design about women. And what was it about that conversation, Rachel, that kind of got you interested in being here today?
Well, I feel like I have a unique perspective on this whole topic because I do stay home with my kids. And I'm really thankful to have that chance to be able to stay home and spend time with them in these early years. But I also work a little bit on the side. And I just thought it was an interesting topic, interesting conversation. It's something that I talk a lot about with other female friends. And it's something that I think a lot of women struggle with, knowing where do I draw the line here between work and family. And especially Christian women struggle with this. But I do think there's an innate desire in women to want to be with their children, and how that plays out may look differently for different people.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was just, it was an interesting topic. I definitely tuned right in, and I thought it'd be interesting to have some more talk about it, discussion.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, that was the point, because you had two Christian men talking about it.
I wasn't going to say that, but that definitely did play into
absolutely.
Like, you know, we need some women talking
about
exactly
this topic. Right. And you may not know this, but about 60% of Christian radio listeners are women. So they make up the bulk of the audience. And when you hear guys talking about it, this is a triggering subject.
Yes.
I have conversations. One of my daughters is 23. The other daughter is 16. We talk about these things. In their generation, the thought of Christian woman or not, the thought of get married when you're young, have mm-hmm. children when you're young, to them, that's so patriarchal.
Right.
Like, I'm being told what to do, and what if I want to have a career, and what if I want to build this, and what if I want to achieve that, which isn't unique to them. That's a cultural thing. It's a generational thing. Mm-hmm. But for you, like going to Liberty University, what was your plan then? So you're 18, 19, 20.
Right.
What was your view of the world as a Christian woman and your place in it? What was your plan?
Well, you know, honestly, I grew up in a small town. I was homeschooled and was part of a small church. And there really were not many people around my age that I could even, like, have good friendships with. There was a couple, but not a huge network. And so the thought of going to Liberty, where there was this huge student body of fellow believers, was really exciting to me. And I'd be lying to say if I didn't have in the back of my mind, well, maybe I'll meet someone there. You know, maybe this will be the place I meet my husband. It's funny because that's not where I met my husband. I definitely graduated there just as single as could be and didn't really know what was going to become of me. You
were
know?
You open at the time? Were you thinking, I'm going to have a career? Because you've worked, you've had some incredible opportunities. After you got done at Liberty, you went to work for the Heritage Foundation. Most of the people listening to us right now are familiar with that. Then you had a chance after Obama one day. I actually worked on the Hill.
I did. You know, I did not have a career mindset. I'll be honest with you. I went to school thinking, you know, this will be good. Women need to be educated. We need to be able to support ourselves. But ultimately, I really wanted to have a family. That was my heart desire. And that's the way that that's what I had carried with me throughout my teenage years and going into young adulthood. And so to graduate Liberty single and then going to Washington, D.C., where everyone else was single,
right.
It was honestly scary for me. I thought, you know, what's going to happen? Am I going to meet anybody? Nobody here is interested in having a family. It's really a totally different culture in D.C.
And what was it like at Liberty with a bunch of, you know, not everybody at Liberty is a Christian. Not everybody at Liberty is conservative, but the large percentage of them are.
Yes, most are. So
with girlfriends and stuff, did you guys talk about this? Was this a topic in college?
In terms of wanting to get married.
Yeah, versus career.
Yes, and a lot of women did get married right after graduation. I was one of the few who didn't.
Mm.
And so it was, yeah, we definitely talked about marriage, family, having children.
So why did they go to college?
I think down deep and everyone, you know we need to support ourselves.
Yeah.
And so even as a Christian woman, you know you need to be educated and to be able to support yourself if you're called to do that.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about that in the context of Proverbs 31, how to having a family, what do you do with your career, what does the Bible say? We'll be right back. All right, moms and dads, grandmothers and grandfathers, what are you going to tell your daughters and granddaughters to do? There's the world, what the world says, and the world says, go get them, tiger. I am woman, hear me roar. Go do whatever you want to do. You don't need to answer to a man. You don't need to get married when you're young. You don't need to get married at all if you don't want to. You certainly don't owe anybody to have children. And it's interesting, I've had some conversations about this. And just one recently, and talking about, well, why is God's design for marriage anyway, blah, 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 blah. I said, well, if you're going to propagate the human race and survive, you actually need to have more people in order to do that. And if God commands us right there at the beginning to be fruitful and multiply, you actually, there are numbers involved there. So if you're having, like in Europe right now, they're beneath their own replenishment rate because they are not having, you need to have about 3 kids per family. Mm. To be at a replenishment rate, but they're below that. So they're actually shrinking themselves. The same thing's happening here in America as we get more and more selfish. It's all about me, my career, my desires, my money, my. And so marriage is faltering and getting pushed back further. Careers are taking over, which is not necessarily materialism, but oftentimes that's what's driving it. I am woman, hear me roar. And so what do you do about that? If you're a Christian, what does God's word say about it? We talked about it the last two Theology Thursdays with Neil Cushman from Bob Jones Seminary, looking at the role of men and the role of women. And that's why Rachel Lee Brady is here today with me and her husband, Winston. They've been married for almost 10 years, have 3 sons, 5, 2.5, and 4 months. And a side gig. You have a side gig. You're still working.
A little bit.
And you said something on the break, and thanks for being here today. I appreciate you
thanks
coming.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. So you said something on the break about wanting to get married young and having children and starting a family wasn't exactly something that you put on a t-shirt and ran around town and told everybody.
No.
Why was that? Because I think there's something there we need to unpack. There's a lot of societal pressure.
There is.
And inside the church as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the culture tells you, you know, pursue your dreams, you know, be anything you can be. Don't limit your potential, especially for women. There's a huge cultural pressure to do more than just stay home. Just stay home, as if that's something that's so easy or not enough for society, you know. And so what... The other side of that is, for staying home with children is a biblical calling, and it's something that is a wonderful choice, and it should be celebrated and supported, especially within the church. We need to be more vocal about that. Because I think a lot of times we're tempted to take the cultural line on this and say, you know, it's the same, or doesn't really matter what you choose. But I think there are some biblical...
Just do what makes you happy.
Right.
And that kind of attitude.
Right. Even within the church. We've bought into that a little bit.
Oh, absolutely. And so how old were you when you got married?
So I was 25.
25.
I felt so old, but I wasn't.
Now, did you have any friends, any coworkers that were like, wow, 25, that's awfully young?
It's interesting. It depends on where you were to ask that question. So from like a Liberty standpoint, where I went to undergrad, most people got married when they were 21, right out of college. There were some people who did not, but most people were getting married right out of college. And then you go, you know, to Washington, D.C., where no one's getting married.
Right. Everybody's single.
Everybody's single. I was part of a church there where it was really hard, honestly, going to church and looking at these many, many rows of all these single people and no one doing anything about it. The young men, the young women, everybody's just happy to be living the single life.
Yeah.
You know, they're making money. They're doing fun stuff. Yeah. No one seems like this to have the pressure to get married. And honestly, I felt so alone. I would sit there and feel like, man, I'm going to be single forever. Mm-hmm. Everyone's happy being single except for me. So that was just the reality.
And there was a stigma attached, like you were mentioning. There's a stigma, like you're trying to figure that out. It's old-fashioned.
Right.
It's biblical, i.e. patriarchal.
Right.
That's the church telling me what to do with my life. First, you guys try to tell me what to do with my body. Now you're trying to tell me what to do with career or singleness or marriage. And I think as the world gets older, autonomy becomes an even bigger idol. Mm-hmm. So we're so autonomous now, we can change our gender if we feel like it, with no rational basis in science. It's just based on feelings and, to a certain degree, mental illness. But then you just declare, I am what I am, and that's the end of it. Mm-hmm. And I think so back to the church thing. Do you remember growing up being in a small town or being at Liberty? Was the theology of womanhood, biblical womanhood, marriage, family, mothering, was that ever taught? Do you remember being pushed in any way or educated in any way?
Well, in those contexts, absolutely. Marriage, motherhood were seen as wonderful, wonderful callings to take part in. So absolutely, yes. And I think that's kind of where I was feeling this pull. You know, here I'd grown up this way, and I knew what was true about and what was good, how God designed men and women. And then I'm in this huge, you know, city where there's other people who have different perspectives, even in the church. And it's just a lonely feeling, and feeling like the world is very much against this core value that I have. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting, too, because I didn't set out to have a career in politics or to work in politics. I've always loved politics. But, you know, when I was kind of thrown into it in a lot of ways.
Because you really did for almost 10 years, really.
Yes,
right out of college.
Yes, I did.
To Heritage.
Yes,
and then
I did.
You were working with NC Values here and everything until you got married and had children.
Right. I've done a couple of different campaigns and things like that along the way. But yes, I mean, politics has always been a love of mine. But when I was working in it, I kind of caught the bug, to be honest.
Sure.
And so then it's like, oh, wow. I had like this desire, you know, to have marriage, to get married, to have children. But then it was like I found this other side of myself through working. Like, wow, I really like this. I like pushing myself hard. I didn't mind staying up late in the office and getting things done.
Yeah.
It was so in a lot of ways it was tough because it was like, okay, I really want to have children one day, but I'm also really enjoying working. How do I exist with these two things? And, you know, I struggled with that when I first got to Washington, and I talked to someone at Heritage about it, who's the supervisor of the Young Leaders Program there. And I said, how do I handle this? You know, I really want to push myself. I really would like to, you know, really strive to do great things for God's glory here. But I am carrying this desire to have children one day and to get married and all that. How do I handle these two things? And it can be a tough place for a Christian woman to balance those things.
Because it seems like opposite ends of the spectrum.
It does.
You choose one or the other.
And
binary.
She told me, you know, pursue and push yourself as hard as you can here, while you're here. But always keep your hand open to having a family. And I carry that with me. It was very good advice for me to hear as a young, I think I was like 22. At the time, and I would often tell employers, even I remember during my first interview when I was working on the Hill, the congressman asked me, he said, so what's your 5-year plan? And at the time I was very, very single, and I said, well, you know, if I'm here, I listed off things I'd like to be doing. I said, but honestly, I could also see myself having children in the next 5 years, getting married. And he nodded and told me that was a great worthwhile endeavor, and you know, he supported it.
Yeah.
And you know, of course, that was encouraging to hear. But so I've always tried to be honest in who I really am, even to employers when interviewing, because it comes up. It's costing some things too along the way when I'm honest.
In her 20s, they're going to wonder, are you going to be gone in 2 or 3 or 4 years because you get married and have kids and you're out of here?
Yes.
And as an employer, that's an issue.
Because
they're going to pour money and time into you to train you and get you ready.
And you know, they may say they're not biased in how they make their decisions on hiring, but, you know, they got to be a little bit, I guess.
Well, I don't even think that's bias. I think that's just good business sense.
I guess so,
Because you're going to spend a certain amount of money and time in developing somebody. So we get you right where we want you to be, and then you get married and you're gone.
That's where I think flexibility comes into play.
Oh, absolutely. And then we'll talk about side gigs as well. What does Rachel Lee Brady's friends, what about her peer group? She's 34. What do they say about this marriage and family as a Christian woman? We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Following up on our Theology Thursday from last week, which was not God's design, talking about the biblical role of women, which is this. All right, so gird up your loins, everybody. Primarily for most Christian women, not all. Some people are called to singleness. I don't think in the church we've done a good job of talking about singleness and exalting that for the great benefit and worth it can be if you're called to it. But for most of us, singleness is not the calling. So most people move towards marriage and then family, raising children. And so last week we were talking about that in the context of Theology Thursday, not God's design, because a lot of women, and even in the church now, are like, what? Getting married, having children? That's just like the patriarchy, slavery kind of thing. And I can do a whole lot more with my life than just push out some kids and raise a bunch of little brats. And so that's what the culture has largely done. You see that in the reproduction rates and marriage and with the guys. I think it was 73-74% of men between the ages of 25 and 34 now aren't even married. So we have all kinds of problems, and that's why Rachel Lee Brady is in here today. We've been friends for a long time and been very involved in politics from a Christian perspective, of course. But she's a mom, and she's 34. Her husband Winston's 35. They have 3 sons, 5, 2.5, and 4 months. They've been married for almost 10 years. And you heard the show last week, and we just exchanged a couple messages because this is a big issue. Do you think we realize how much of an issue this is?
I think if you talk to any Christian woman, there is a lot of struggle here. Every Christian woman that I have talked to has some sort of opinion or thought on this. There is definitely a lot of struggle.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, if you stay home, it's like, am I doing enough? And then if you're working in any capacity, there's this thing called mom guilt where you feel like, oh man, should I be working at all? Is that biblical? Is it not? I don't know. And so I feel like this is an issue that needs to be talked about and addressed.
Yeah, and so one of the things that's interesting, and Neil Cushman, Dr. Cushman, brought this up last week on Theology Thursday, referencing Proverbs 31.
Right.
And I think of Proverbs 31, I think, okay, a godly woman and a godly wife and a godly mother. But there's things in Proverbs 31 that show you that this Proverbs 31 woman is also a great business person.
Absolutely.
Very industrious. And
yes.
I know you had some Proverbs 31 notes there. So
kind
of walk us through what grabbed you there.
Well, you know, for one thing, the whole gist of the passage, it talks about her household. You know, the Proverbs 31 woman is all about the ways of her household. And that can mean a lot of different things. I think sometimes we feel like you said, Proverbs 31, it means you can only be, you know, taking care of children or cooking or sewing, you know, what are those traditional homemaking tasks that we think of. But, you know, she in this passage, she's, you know, she's considering fields. She's She's looking at her merchandise that is profitable. It says her lamp doesn't go out at night. She reaches out her hands to the needy, so it looks like she's, you know, out in her community doing things. She's taking care of just every need of her household. She's clothing them. She's just all about the home and the household. And that can look a lot of different ways for different women.
Sure.
And, you know, there isn't anything firm here that says, or in fact, it says the opposite. It does not say, women, you cannot earn an income.
Right.
You know, in fact, this woman is earning an income. She is helping. But the difference here, I think, that's different from the culture is she's about her home and she's about her household. And
yeah.
That is what's first. It's not me. It's the household. She's thinking about their needs first. And so I think that's the thing to take away here. And because there's a lot of different contexts today that women face. You know, a woman may really need to provide for her family. Maybe her husband he's walked out.
Yeah.
Or maybe he's sick. Or maybe just they cannot make it work financially and she has to contribute something. And so what we want to, I feel like, need to be careful about is pointing fingers and saying, well, I'm doing this better than this other person.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that is something we need to be very careful about. And I think it can be very easy for a woman who stays home to feel a little self-righteous sometimes and
sure.
feel like, well, man, I'm really like living out my biblical calling
right.
here.
I'm the Proverbs 31
yes,
woman.
I am her. I am she. So, yeah. So I think we need to be careful. We need to be very humble when we talk about these things and be sensitive to the fact that there's lots of different context for women today. And, you know, the wonderful thing today is this isn't the 1980s anymore. We don't have to leave our children in
right.
daycare and go to an office building in order to earn an income. You know, we have laptops and cell phones, and we can do lots of damage just with the internet.
Yeah.
So I think that's a wonderful thing.
Because you're still working
thing.
A little bit.
A little bit. Yes, I am on the side. It's something that I enjoy doing. It definitely is a blessing to our family. It's something that we talk about often. So I do contract work, basically.
Yeah.
So I'm not an employee. And I really recommend that for other women if you're needing to earn a little extra. It's wonderful to be a contractor in the sense that you're not having to report in
sure.
to an office.
Sure.
And so, you know, you can do things at odd times of the day.
The kids are sleeping.
When they're sleeping, yes, or even if they're running around and, you know, you're a good multitasker. So
right.
And most women are really great multitaskers.
Sure. Oh yeah.
You know, so
it's kind of baked into the cake.
It is. And so I feel like the whole side income thing is very doable for a lot of women in the down moments of the day. Not that there are that many, but carving them out. And that can be a real blessing to your family.
Absolutely.
So it's a wonderful thing.
Well, you mentioned earlier, and I totally agree with this, that a lot of the younger generations look at getting married, especially motherhood, mm-hmm. as I'm settling for less than what I'm capable of.
Right.
So do you think that feminism is probably the number one factor there?
Oh, absolutely.
That we've just redefined or just put a whole shroud over.
Oh, yes. And it's only gotten worse in today where we're completely just neutering the genders. And so, you know, society is saying there's no difference between men and women. In
right.
fact, you can be a man if you want to or whatever you feel like today. And so, yes, it's very, I feel like it's confusing for a lot of Christian women to know how to handle that you know, how to handle themselves in this environment. Yeah.
Do you think a lot of Christian women, younger women, because you're 34, so do you have much contact with Christian women in their 20s?
So my sister is, she's a lot younger than I am. She's 10 years younger. And I feel like she has a little different story than I do. So she got married young to a great guy that I used to babysit, actually. That shows you our age difference.
Wow, yeah. That's funny.
Yes, and she set her job aside when she had their first son. And, yeah, I admire that a lot. And I know that she finds a lot of fulfillment in staying home with him. And she and her husband actually have a business they do on the side. So, you know, she's definitely maxing it out
yeah.
every day
yeah.
with her productivity. So I really admire that in her. But, yes, I do see in some young married women, they're making this choice. But they're coming at it from the right angle. You know, they understand.
Yeah.
Where the emphasis really should be, where the priority should be. It should be on your family. It should be on your children. That should be what's taken into consideration first. And for some women, that might mean working more than they really want to.
Right.
You know, and so that's a reality. But, you know, it's about thinking about what the family's needs are I think, is the biblical calling.
And I think if you're going to call yourself a Christian, then you need to, and I think a lot of younger Christians struggle with this. This is kind of the Lord issue. So, yeah, Jesus is my Savior, but he's not necessarily the Lord of my life. So what does the Bible call most of us to? What does it call most men to? Well, that's leadership in the home and being a provider. The Bible's very strong on that issue. And a man that doesn't provide for his family is worse than an unbeliever. I mean, there's some really strong language in there. And for women, most women from a biblical perspective at some point are called to motherhood and really kind of running a home and supporting. It's a great partnership. I think marriage for a lot of younger Christian people and younger people especially is just like a dirty word all of a sudden.
Right.
And I think feminism has contributed to that because it's anybody that tells you to do anything other than what you want to do or that really frees you up to maximize your potential is a patriarchal animal and they're just crushing you.
Right.
Instead of going, no, this is actually a noble and an important calling.
Right.
And it's not, it's like being a mom is a cakewalk. Like, so we're a homeschooling family, right? We've homeschooled for 17 years now. And I'll catch myself every once in a while. I'll go, oh, yeah, we've homeschooled for 16 years or 17 years. And I'm like, well, actually, hold on a second. Me saying we've homeschooled is, like, incredibly inaccurate. Like, somebody would object if I were in a court of law. Gina homeschooled our four kids. I was, like, the headmaster from time to time. But pretty much that's what she did. I've been self-employed since we, 2 or 3 years into our marriage. Which is just, we just celebrated 29 years. So wow, she's really operating the home and the budget and all that stuff. It's a big job. They figured out not that long ago, if you were going to pay a woman, a mom and a wife, rates out in the marketplace based on the amount of work she does, the amount of responsibility she has, the amount of time she puts in, that's like $120,000, $130,000 a year job, which most women aren't making that.
Right.
So you go, okay, so is this really you're selling yourself short? But the culture certainly tells you you have.
Yes. They've exchanged the truth for a lie.
Yeah. Romans 1.
Yes.
Bada bing, bada boom.
Yes.
I know you had some notes on feminism. Was there anything else about feminism? Because I want to make sure in the last segment we encourage people. And for us, as me as an older Christian, how do we speak to younger Christians, especially women? But yes. Anything else about feminism that's kind of bugging you?
Well, you know, I think there's a question. You know, Phyllis Schlafly, who's my personal hero, she who stopped the ERA from passage back in the 70s and early 80s, she wrote a book called Who Will Rock the Cradle. And I think that's something that we need to consider as Christians is, okay, so you're making choices about work. You're planning ahead. Ask yourself that question. Who's going to take care of the kids? Because someone's got to.
Right.
And so as you're planning and making a decision about your future, thinking about the children and what's going to happen to them while you're working is a great question to ask
yourself. And again, if you're a Christian, you're going to say, yeah, I'm a Christian. I'm going to follow the Lord. Well, what does this word say? Well, the Lord says that children are a blessing, and blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them, full of those arrows, which actually are supposed to be shot out and directed. We'll talk about that as well when we come back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Following up on our last two Theology Thursdays with our friends at Bob Jones Seminary, we were talking about not God's design. We talked about men. What's God's design for men? Because men are leaving the marketplace and living in our basements far too often these days. But then last week we talked about women. What's the biblical role of women? And some people are called to singleness. Most of us are not. So in that context, the number one thing that the scriptures make pretty clear that a Christian woman does eventually is becomes a wife and a mother to rear children. And then we have those arrows in our quiver. Blessed is the man and woman, of course, whose quiver is full of them. And so that's God's design. Now, you can take an issue with it, but that's what he said, and it's pretty clear. Not that you don't work. And even with the Proverbs 31 woman, she's very industrious. She's making money while she's running a household. But we've turned running a household and being a wife and being a mother into like just like you're a flop. That's what losers do. That's what people that don't have any drive do. That's what people that want to be controlled by men do. And so we have women as well, and Christian women that are really struggling with this issue. That's why Rachel Lee Brady is here today. She's 34. She and her husband Winston have been married for 10 years. 3 sons, 5, 2.5, and 4 months. Wow. How's that going for you?
Chaos. a lot of dirt, a lot of dart, Nerf darts being shot at me constantly.
Yes.
It is a lot of fun.
Do you want a girl, like just to even it out at some point?
You know, a girl would be great. But I love my boys. They are just great.
That's
great
so cool.
Kids.
So for you and Winston, when all of a sudden you're going to basically go to one income. You're still working on the side. But how, did, was that ever an issue for you guys when you got married? You're falling in love. We're going to get married. Talking about family planning the right way, not the Planned Parenthood way. But how did you guys kind of work through that?
You know, it was a tough thing for sure because we neither one of us were making huge incomes. And so the thought of me stopping my job to stay home with kids is definitely, you know, like, okay, how are we going to make this work?
Right.
And so, you know, I early on from the very beginning, we decided that we would always budget under his income and that if we were to buy a house, we were going to budget with his income in mind. And so we lived like that, and we saved as best we could what I made, and that definitely helped us once we had our kids. We were not used to an extravagant lifestyle.
Right.
We've always driven old cars. You know, I shop at Aldi almost exclusively. So, yeah.
I mean, was wondering who shopped over there.
Oh, it's me. I'm there every week.
Yeah, but that's those are sacrifices.
Yes.
That most people, what be that be it my age, your age, or in their 20s, simply don't want to make.
Right.
They just don't.
It's, I mean, it's definitely not glamorous. It's
no.
not something that, you know, the millennial mindset has in mind when you think about, you know, living out your 20s and 30s. You know, a lot, especially people of my generation, take a lot of stock in going out to eat a lot, and you know, you see like the Instagram coffee.
Oh, gosh,
you know,
yes.
Everybody's got it, and you know, so yes, so you have to make, you do have to make sacrifices, but it's about thinking about why you're doing it. You know, you're investing in the next generation, mm-hmm. and you have to have that mindset when you make those choices. You can't think about the here and now all the time.
And so, do you at this point, do you kind of openly or actively look for opportunities to have these types of conversations with younger Christian women?
I should do it more often, honestly.
Because I think that's a big problem.
Yes.
We're like, they're not going to listen anyway.
Right.
And, you know, and I get into some tough conversations with our two daughters about these things.
Mm-hmm.
And I know this is a shock to everybody, but all four of our kids are very independent-minded and very strong-willed.
I
have no idea where they got that from. But my just full disclosure, my wife is basically 100% Italian. So that
okay.
does factor in there
yes.
a little bit, which I probably just triggered somebody on that one, which I don't care. But that's – and then they're on a journey.
Right.
But that doesn't mean we don't speak a biblical narrative and say,
mm-hmm.
well, okay, well, I know you're struggling with this or maybe you don't like that, but this is what the Bible teaches.
Right.
And there's a reason why.
Mm-hmm.
And so just sowing those seeds, and then it's between them and their maker
right.
at some point. But I
right.
think we need to be really active in having these conversations. I don't know why marriage today for young women in their 20s and teens has got – it's like you suggest marriage to a lot of these young people and they're like – oh, my gosh.
Right.
You're so old-fashioned.
Right. There's definitely a stigma.
Oh.
Totally.
It's brutal.
I think it's important, too, as Christians, if you see a hardworking young couple and they're making sacrifices and you recognize it, tell them, you know, you're doing a great job. Remind them what they're doing. Because while you're in it, it's so easy to lose sight of what's ahead down
yeah.
the road. You know, because you're just trying to get through the day. You're exhausted. You're dealing with children and fights messes and all the things. And so, you know, if you see a young person doing this well, encourage them. They need it. They're tired and they're wondering if they've made the right choice. Because sometimes the office looks pretty attractive when you are slugging it out at home.
Right.
So
right.
remind them, encourage them.
And do you think we should be more bold in speaking up about biblical roles for men and women?
Oh, absolutely. We do. Yes. And it can be scary because it's such the antithesis of the culture. I mean, to say that men are to be protectors and providers, you know, that is just completely against
for you
what
to
the
say
world
it.
Is saying.
What happened to this woman?
Yes.
You're like soldier's
yes.
soul.
Yes. Yes. Get her away. Like, shut her mouth. Yeah. She's not. She
move up to
get
Pennsylvania.
It. Right.
Get your little doily.
You're
in
so
lungs.
Backwards. Yeah, exactly. So I think we absolutely need to be more vocal about it because the culture is so loud. And so the church needs to be very loud on these topics in order to encourage and build up our body. You know, we need to be telling the members of our churches, you know, reminding them what is truth on these topics. They're important. It's affecting our daily lives. It's affecting the next generation and eternity.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it's a huge problem. And I think you start to pull on the string and you can find, and Satan's not an idiot.
Right.
So let's just destroy the institution of marriage. Let's destroy the family.
Absolutely.
And then, you know, the government, those are the three institutions that God ordained, the church, the family, and marriage, and the government. And so Satan's going to go after those things.
Absolutely.
And if we don't defend them and speak loudly about it,
right,
the culture wins.
Absolutely. We have to stand strong on these issues. And I think, yeah, there's a reason, like you said, that Satan attacks marriage, family, gender, roles. You know, there could it be that it's because it was God's design for humanity?
What a shocker.
Could it be that for that reason?
Yeah. Yeah. And again, like I said, he's not an idiot. So what's your word of encouragement? Because most of the people listening and watching today are my age. So we have sons and daughters.
Right.
And some of us have grandchildren.
Right.
So how would you suggest that we approach the younger women in our lives as fathers and mothers, as grandfathers and grandmothers on this particular subject? What's a good way to communicate with people your age and younger?
I think just be in their lives. Send them a text. Say, hey, I saw the way you're parenting at church on Sunday, and you're just doing a great job. I actually had somebody say that to me recently. It was a tough morning, and you know, we didn't know, we were trying to deal with our kids, and it was just tough. And we had somebody afterwards tell us, just like, you know, in reminding us why we were doing what we were doing, and you know, that we were just doing so well with our children, and they liked the way that we spoke to them and were handling a particular situation. It's just hearing these words from people, it means so much, especially from older people, someone that you respect.
Yeah.
It just means so much to have somebody older tell you that.
Well, encouragement is a currency that we don't trade in much.
Yes.
And the culture's throwing negative messages at us all the time.
Yes.
Anti-Christian, anti-biblical messaging.
Right.
Literally 24/7.
Right.
So when you hear something, especially from an older Christian couple, just a little bit of an encouragement, what a massive impact that has.
Oh, it totally does. You remember it.
What do you say to younger single Christian women about this?
I'd say just like that old boss of mine at Heritage told me, like, keep your hand open to this. You know, maybe the Lord isn't going to call you to marriage and family. Maybe that will not be your story. But if that's your heart's desire, you know, don't squelch it. You know, it's a good thing. It's the way God designed men and women. You know, these desires are not something weird or something, you know, that's old-fashioned. It's the design for humanity. So there's a reason that you may have a desire to have children, maybe because it's natural.
Yeah. Yeah. What a crazy thought that is.
Right.
Right? You just go, hey, so this is, again, I'm always going to come back to, if you call yourself a Christian, then there is a plumb line. There is a source for truth.
Right.
And you go, what does it say? And there's that. And then realizing, okay, it's like the old cartoons when I have a devil on one corner and on one shoulder and I have an angel on the other shoulder.
Right.
And they're both talking to me.
Yes.
Trying to get me to go one direction or the other. And the scripture talks about that. You know, this is the way, walk in it.
Mm-hmm.
Go to the right, go to the left. Mm-hmm. No, this is the way, walk in it. And that's such a funny thing. It sounds ridiculous, except it rings true. Could it be that this is actually God's design for
right,
us?
Right.
And if you don't do that, if you squelch it, to use a word that you used earlier, then you're denying yourself the blessings that God has for you that's unique to marriage and family.
Right. Absolutely.
And you can't find it anywhere else.
Right. And let's be honest. The guys are not being encouraged to step up and lead.
No.
And so if you're hand is closed to marriage, you know, men don't need a whole lot of discouragement not to step forward. So do your part and keep your hand open to the possibilities of what may be ahead.
And I think that's a great point, and to challenge both sides of the equation.
Oh, yes.
Men need to be challenged too, to step up and lead. And it's not, but I think this is a much bigger problem just looking at marriage for women than it is for men. I think the majority of men want to get married.
Mm-hmm.
The challenge now is you have a lot of women that are getting well-educated.
Mm-hmm.
And the flock of men that are well educated is shrinking.
Right.
Like 65% of college students are female.
That's really something.
So like, how do you even find a good godly man to marry?
Right.
If you're a Christian woman.
Right. So these questions are going to be even more important as we go forward.
Yeah, even more important, which is why we have to have these conversations, speak out loudly. By the way, make sure, moms and dads, grandparents, that you're praying for your children's spouses. Okay, that's something that Rachel, I hope you and Winston are doing that already. Start praying for the spouses of who your young boys are going to marry one day. I had a funny conversation with one of my daughters once. I said, hey, do you ever pray about who you're going to marry? And she said, no, I haven't really done that. And I said, oh, good. Because your mom's been praying about it since you were like two. So God's really only hearing from her when it comes to who you're going to marry. And I just floated that out there. And she was like, okay, I think I understand your point.
Right.
Yeah, so make sure we're praying about it as well. Rachel, that's thank you great. So much for coming in today.
Yes.
It was a really worthwhile
thank
conversation.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. We'll hopefully do it again. Tell Winston we said hello.
I sure will. Thanks so much.
This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.